Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Talk to the Hand podcast.
Hello, Beth.
Hello, Jimmy.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's nice to see the sun shining out now today.
Yeah, it won't last for long, I'm sure. We had such fantastic feedback on the O.J. Simpson case, with many people remembering a lot of what we remembered about the case at the time.
And that's what I love to hear. We reminisce, so it's great to hear other people reminiscing.
And one of the things that we didn't talk about that many of our listeners got in touch to talk about was the remake of the case that they did with David Schwimmer in it.
Yes, yeah.
So we didn't cover that in the episode, and I think we didn't go into all of those kind of details, but that was an amazing series.
Yeah, it was good.
But today we're flipping the switch. We've got someone completely different, although someone who did have their fair share of legal troubles.
Yes, yeah, they did, which you'll learn about. But also we're going, so away from sports and acting, we're going back to the music, the 90s music. And I've seen this guy live.
Have you?
Yes.
Where did you see him?
Power in the Park, which was Power FM, which was like the South Coast radio station at the time.
Who was headlining?
Same week
there?
I don't know if they were headlining, but it's the same time Boyzone were there. So it was Mark Morrison. Just give it away.
Your subtle release there of who the episode's about. Still less subtle than our title in the episode with the person's name.
Yeah, that's true.
We are talking about Mark Morrison, who had a huge track of Return of the Mac, which is still widely played on all of the nostalgic channels.
And it's on that brilliant new 90s...
You love that playlist.
The 90s Summer 90s hits playlist on Spotify. Oh my god, I was listening to it in the car yesterday.
You're addicted to it. You're
so
forcing
good.
The kids to listen to it as well. So we're going to talk about Mark Morrison. We really hope you enjoy the episode, but for now,
rewind to the 90s. Born in 1972 in Hanover, Germany, Mark Morrison's family emigrated to the UK from Barbados and in his formative years unfolded in Leicester in England. At the tender age of 10, Morrison took the stage for the first time in a local production of Winnie the Pooh at a Leicester theatre. Reflecting on the experience in 2006 interview with The Guardian, he humorously recounted, "I auditioned for Christopher Robinson." Is that his name? Not quite. But they cast him as a small black beetle. Despite the unconventional role, Morrison expressed that playing a beetle brought pride to his parents and a sentiment he cherished.
I'm going to go way off tangent here. I don't think you know this, but I was talking to our daughter yesterday and explaining to her like the awards they have before the Oscars, which is for the worst films.
Yes.
Have you seen the one that won 5 out of the 10 awards?
Yeah, the Winnie the Pooh slasher film.
Shocking.
Have you seen it?
No, but apparently it's terrible. It's so,
Why
so
would
bad.
You love Winnie the Pooh, go around killing
Well,
people.
The rights, after a certain number of years, get revoked so people can, anyone can kind of pick it up and start using the storyline and characters.
But just why would you? Why would you want to have Winnie the Pooh killing everyone?
Apparently Winnie the Pooh and Piglet were
the worst.
One of the awards was the worst couple.
No, that's going to annoy me now.
So as a teenager, Mark Morrison spent a stint living in Miami, absorbing the influences of American pop, R&B and hip-hop. However, by the early 90s, he found himself back at Leicester at the age of 19, actively engaged in making music while navigating life on the dole.
How cool would that be as a teenager, going to spend some time in Miami, doing what you liked with the music?
But what's really strange to me is his accent was always very American, yet it appears that he spent minimal time there and a lot more time in Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark's turbulent relationship with the law began during his teenage years, a reputation that just didn't necessarily serve as a cultural asset in the 1990s Leicester, unlike perhaps in places like Los Angeles. Jake Narva, the director of the Return of the Mac music video, highlighted in a Mail magazine feature that gangster rap was an American thing. The kids who were through the system in England were just not behaving like that. And he was. He was getting himself into trouble because he came from a bit of a, well, actually, I'm not going to say exactly why he was getting himself into trouble, but he was. And that was the part of his appeal.
So that was a bit enigmatic.
That was, wasn't it?
Morrison's inaugural official recording was the 93 vinyl release, Where Is Our Love, issued under his private Jomel label. In the midst of 95, Morrison unveiled his debut single, Crazy, which swiftly climbed into the top 20 in the UK, earning popularity in clubs. The subsequent release, Let's Get Down, also secured a position in the top 40. The genesis of Return of the Mac lies in Mark Morrison's own pen. Reflecting on its creation, he shared with a Leicester newspaper, "I grew up on the St. Mark's estate. Return of the Mac was written in Welford Road Prison. I'm from here." Morrison, alongside Phil Legg, known for his work with Desiree, produced the original rendition of Return of the Mac. Although the initial version remains unreleased to the public, it underwent transformation when sent to Cutfather and his producing partner, Joe Belmarti. Speaking to Mel magazine, Cutfather didn't paint the original Return of the Mac in the most flattering light, describing it as very soft and not really catchy. Despite the criticisms, he acknowledged its inherent coolness, describing it as a really cool song. Beth, can you tell me what a Mac is?
Right, hang on a minute.
Now, do me a favour.
No, a Mac is like the Apple Mac. Or a jacket Mac.
I was just going to say, don't say something that protects you from the rain.
Okay.
Return of the Mac, did you think that was like, winter has come again and he's got his
coat,
animal account?
He used to always wear a big coat.
That's not what it means. Exactly. So a Mac, originally in sort of American culture, it's a confident, successful man who has many sexual partners.
I never knew that.
You honestly thought he was singing Return of the Anorak?
No, but it's his nickname.
Get it out of the wardrobe because it's raining outside. No, seriously, what are you thinking?
I never knew that he meant that. That is cool. No, I thought it was just his nickname.
That goes down in the great list of Beth recollections from this podcast series. You thought it was Return of the Anorak.
No, that was... Because he used to wear a big coat.
But
well, he did.
You thought he was singing about Return of My Coat.
No. It was Return of Him, but I thought Mac was his nickname.
Because of his coat?
Yeah.
Wow. So Cutfather and Joe brainstormed ways to enhance Return of the Mac, or Anorak if you're Beth, introducing a couple of key elements. Initially, they incorporated the distinctive drums from Genesis of Love. Subsequently, they injected fresh, more captivating chords derived from Chucky Bush's 92 R&B track Games.
The revamped version of Return of the Mac involved in a complex sonic tapestry with numerous enhancements, additional drums from the French disco maestro Savone, dynamic elements from the frequently sampled Bronx funk group ESG, and vocal snippets from the Treacherous Three, Digital Underground, and Run DMC enriched the composition.
I love the way you kind of put your hands up there when you recognise Run DMC. Amidst the multifaceted musical landscape, Mark Morrison's voice remains a distinct feature, characterised by its sweet yet tart quality, inseparable from his nasal tone and rebellious persona. And he really did have a nasal tone, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
The song itself is a breakup anthem, encapsulating emotions of post-breakup survival and the defiant "you'll regret leaving me" sentiment. At one point, Mark even refers to it as a comeback song. Renowned Stereo Gum critic Tom Breen aptly labelled it one of the great bounce-back songs in pop music history.
I'd agree with
all that. About Raymac. Who would have thought that?
No, like his nickname. But it's still him. It's still him returning.
With his Raymac.
This, naturally, is the rendition of Return of the Mac that makes waves on the charts, securing the top spot on the UK charts and eventually reaching number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 in America, narrowly trailing Hanson's Mba.
That bit was originally written as a backing track for another song.
Was it?
Like the chorus vocals, the backing singers would be singing while they sang another chorus. And when they wrote it, they thought it was quite good.
Quite good.
So that's quite a random bit of trivia for you there. A bit of 90s unexpected trivia. So in 1996, the complete Return of the Mac album was released, eventually amassing 3 million copies of global sales. Over the following year, it generated several more hit singles. Crazy, do you remember that?
Yep.
Trippin'?
Yep.
Horny?
Yep.
Moan and Groan?
Yes.
I don't believe you remember all. No. Mark Morrison made history as the first artist in British pop to claim 5 top 10 hits from a number 1 debut album. Mark Morrison was now firmly established as a pop star, and he swiftly embraced the swagger, opulent luxury, and charismatic yet menacing persona synonymous with American pop stars. On the cover of the Return of the Mac album, Mark exuded confidence from an elaborate plush blue chair adorned with sunglasses, clad in a leather ensemble, and brandishing a pair of handcuffs.
Despite his flourishing career, Morrison did find himself entangled with the law repeatedly. In 97, he faced imprisonment, convicted of attempting to bring a firearm onto an airline. He served a 3-month sentence just as Return of the Mac ascends the US Billboard charts. Oh, that's not good.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe good publicity. Because he's good publicity.
And he's on the front of his album with handcuffs on and stuff. It all fits in.
Reflecting on this period, he shared, "There was a time when people would ask me what my father did, and I'd explain that he ran a penitentiary in Florida. And then they'd ask me what my sister did, and I'd explain that she was a lawyer for the state of Florida. Then they'd ask me what I did, and I'd say, well, I go to court a lot."
That's for sure. So in the same year, Mark Morrison garnered multiple award nominations, including 4 Brit Award nods, a Mercury Prize nomination, an MTV Europe Musica nomination, and 5 MOBO Award nominations. Return of the Mac climbed to an impressive number 2 on the American Billboard charts, achieving platinum status and maintaining a presence on the charts for an extensive 40 weeks.
Wow.
Morrison's subsequent minor US hit, Moan and Groan, reached number 76.
That same year that he's 3 months in prison?
Yeah, he was out by the time all of that was happening. But yeah, he was in prison while Return of the Mac was becoming a hot record.
Yeah. So Mark Morrison showcased his talents at the 97 Brit Awards, and a performance that inspired WEA and Morrison to release the Only God Can Judge Me EP. This 9-track EP featured live performances, interviews, prayers, and 3 full-length songs, including Who's the Mac, which reached number 13 in the UK.
In 98, Morrison faced more legal troubles, receiving conviction for a fray related to a brawl that resulted in a fatality. He was sentenced to community service. However, Morrison's involvement in a scheme to have a lookalike complete his court-appointed community service while he toured led to a 1-year incarceration at Wormwood Scrubs. During this time, he completed 42 of his 150 hours at the London Homeless Hostel before orchestrating the stand-in to take over. Upon the revelation of this deception, Morrison fled to Barbados and he remained in hiding for a month. Do you remember when he did this?
Yeah, I do remember that. It was in the papers at the time. Yeah. Just so that he could talk.
So while in prison, Morrison reportedly embraced Islam and sought to change his name to Abdul Rahman. In the same year, he faced a 6-month driving ban and £1,380 fine for twice driving without a license. He did not give a monkey's about the law.
Morrison made a notable appearance at the 99 Brit Awards, where he presented an award, introduced Whitney Houston, and declared his return to music. Subsequently, in September 99, he released the single titled Best Friend, featuring Connor Reeves and Gabrielle. In the following year, Billboard announced Morrison's signing of a 5-year worldwide deal with Death Row Records founder Suge Knight.
We've talked about Suge Knight.
We have.
What episode did we talk about Suge Knight? Oh, Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Yeah, because Suge Knight was a major part of 90s rap, wasn't he? He was the one who paid Tupac's bail to come out of prison. He ended up getting up to all sorts, but eventually ran over someone and reversed back over them. It's not great, is it?
No. So this groundbreaking deal established Morrison as the first and only European British artist to be signed with Death Row Records, leading to the operation of Death Row Records UK and an independent label in conjunction with the Ritz Music Group, known for its success with the Irish country music artists like Daniel O'Donnell.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever dreamed I'd ever see a paragraph that included both Suge Knight and Daniel O'Donnell.
They are so far apart.
In 2002, Morrison faced more legal troubles as he was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping and car theft. Despite being released on bail, a subsequent revelation emerged that a policeman involved in the case was arrested on suspicion of accepting a bribe from Morrison for his release. Morrison failed to appear at court to address the charges, resulting in a warrant for his arrest.
Not looking good, is it?
I think you might be going to get a sore neck because you're shaking your head a lot at his behaviour.
I am.
That's the teach from you, isn't it?
Yeah. During the same year, Morrison encountered another arrest in Kensington related to an allegation of rape. According to his account, a woman had been brought to his hotel room by a mutual friend, who then left. When Morrison expressed his intention to retire for the night, a dispute arose concerning money for her taxi, leading to a turbulent situation where she refused to leave. Morrison summoned hotel security, who subsequently involved the police. The woman accused him of rape, prompting his arrest. However, the police found no evidence of DNA or penetration during their investigation.
So Morrison recounted the incident and said, "I think some police know when they've been messed with, because they didn't put me in a cell, they just let me loiter around. A month passes and all I'm seeing are headlines about the case, yet I've still heard nothing from the police. So I go and see them and a man signs a paper and that's it. I ask when they're arresting her and they're like, get out, don't tell us what to do. Mark Morrison subsequently inked a deal with footballer Kevin Campbell's Too Wicked label in 2003. Do you remember Kevin Campbell? He played for Arsenal when he was coming through and then spent a lot of years at Everton. His sole release for the label, a single titled Just a Man / Backstabbers, achieved modest success in the UK, reaching number 48 on the UK singles chart in August 2004. And that same year, he faced more legal troubles. Beth, get ready to shake your head again. After he spent a night in custody after an altercation that resulted in the theft of a platinum and diamond medallion from around his neck during a confrontation at a Leicester nightclub.
So someone stole it off him.
There were further incidents in 2009 where Morrison was arrested for assault in London. By 2006, Morrison released a limited edition CD-DVD album titled Innocent Man in the United Kingdom under his private label, MacLife Records. I mean, he might not have done everything he was accused for, but I don't think we could call him innocent. The album's title track, Innocent Man, featuring DMX, was well received, reaching number 46 of the UK singles chart. In 2017, he collaborated with hip-hop artist Cassidy on the single Innocent Man Misunderstood, sampled from Morrison's vocals, which charted on the Billboard's Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles chart. On 29th of January 2007, Morrison dropped the single Dance For Me featuring Tanya Stevens.
Oh, we love Tanya Stevens, don't we?
So that was the fourth single from his album Innocent Man, accompanied by an official music video directed by Ray K. In 2012, Morrison made a guest appearance on Houston rapper Trader Truth's I'm 2.0. A music video for I'm on 2.0 featuring Morrison and other artists was released on the 3rd of June. Additionally, he announced the release of a single titled Ain't No Good, feels a bit more appropriate, in June 2012, set for release in July 2013, paying homage to the charity Refuge. However, the single faced limited success and was eventually shelved before its intended release, remaining unreleased. So in September 2016, American DJ Nevada commemorated the 20th anniversary of Return of the Mac by remixing the track, renaming it The Mac. Any comments there what you should have renamed it to, Beth?
No. The Anorak?
Yeah.
The Coat?
Nevada's rendition featured re-recorded vocals by Morrison and additional vocals from American rapper Fetty Wap. Fast forward to July 2020 and McDonald's featured a Return of the Mac in a UK television commercial as part of a post-COVID-19 lockdown promotional campaign, signalling the resumption of services and the gradual reopening of restaurants.
In October 2020, Morrison publicly expressed his contemplation of challenging Peter Salisbury for the position of the next mayor of Leicester. However, by September 2022, he decided to withdraw, citing a perceived lack of sufficient support.
In his own words, Mark stated, I can no longer constrain myself to fit into a place I've surpassed. My initial motivation for returning home was the escalating knife crime and gang violence in my hometown, but it seems that my efforts aren't embraced. Hence, perhaps it's in the best interest for me to stay away. Nonetheless, I will always extend my support and prayers for the youth of the city, unlike Peter, not just with words, but with my financial assistance. Now, he had, to his credit, transformed his Leicester penthouse into a recording studio, offering complimentary recording sessions to some aspiring young musicians aiming to contribute to keeping them away from the criminal activities that they were engaged in at the time. So he did kind of put his money where his mouth is and allow people into his home to try and help them in this area.
So in 2021, Morrison collaborated with Chris Brown on G-Eazy single Provide, featuring a sample from Return of the Mac.
In October 2022, Morrison, alongside Post Malone and Psychic, unveiled a mashup of Cooped Up and Return of the Mac. The track gained viral popularity on social media before becoming commercially available for purchase. During the same month, Morrison made a significant real estate investment by purchasing a Florida residence for $2 million in cash. You know, whenever I hear stuff like that, I always think, is that like briefcases and stuff? Yeah. But it's not. It just means he didn't have to get a mortgage. He extended his property portfolio by acquiring a second home in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, in December 23.
He still looks out for the underprivileged. For example, last July, he took 33 underprivileged children from the local non-profit student and athlete mentoring program, STAMP, shoe shopping for the new school year at the mall at Wellington Green.
Morrison knows that going back to school was difficult for many students, especially those lacking resources. Childhood memories of him being teased for wearing what the kids called cheap shoes have stayed with him. He empathises with youth who may face similar situations due to their financial circumstances.
I can still remember the kids calling my shoes cheap. I didn't care until they started teasing me, Morrison said. I don't think any kid should have to go through that, and I will do my part to make sure that does not happen.
And that really lends itself to this feeling I've got that his story is one of contradictions. So he comes across as a really charismatic guy, and he clearly cares about those who are less fortunate. His song is one of the defining 90s anthems.
Yeah.
But his life has been plagued with legal issues. He seems happy now, though.
That's the point. There hasn't been crime for the last 10, 15 years.
I guess he's older now as well and living in a different place.
Yeah.
He does seem happy now, though. He is religious and he's based in the States but travels regularly to Barbados at least a couple of times a year to visit his parents who now reside there. He's got a beautiful home and there's a picture I saw online where he stood outside it with his Range Rover on one side and the Lamborghini on the other. And the registration plate of the Lamborghini,
Mac 95.
So he appears to have overcome the challenges he's been through and he's reaping the rewards of his hard work and talent. And that is the story of Mark Morrison and Return of the Anorak.
I enjoyed that. I have to say, I think I might have to go and listen to some of his other tracks.
You'll remember some of them are crazy.
Yeah,
it was one of his earliest ones. But after Return of the Mac got successful, he re-released Crazy.
Yeah.
So it was playing on the box quite a lot. And then Tripping, I remember that one. He wore a black jumper. There was an electric guitar, I think, or at least a riff from it. I have to say, despite everything, I quite like him.
Yeah.
We're talking about a time where, and it's a time we love, so we can't be too critical of it, but there was a lot of packaged pop and very construed images and stuff like that. And he was something fresh. And at a time, I suppose, I was probably getting interested in a lot of the American artists of the time who were more controversial. And he was kind of like a British version of it.
Yeah, I get that. And he's turned himself around, hasn't he?
Found
God and helping those less fortunate children,
knowing
what it's like to be teased in that way like he was.
He doesn't have to do that stuff. He doesn't have to open his house up to people. It's not like he's a major name in the media these days where if he did something like that, it's going to get big coverage. It doesn't. I do feel that he's quite genuine in his intent with that stuff.
And
that's surely worthy of credit.
Oh, definitely.
So that's the story of Mark Morrison. We really hope you've enjoyed the episode. We really hope you've enjoyed Beth's recollection of what the song title meant. You're not living that one down for a while, Beth.
Oh, God.
We hope you've had a great time with us. We've certainly enjoyed doing the story. But until next week, talk to the hands.